cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
So the parade continues, not the earnings parade. Yeah. It's the jobs cuts parade, right?
I don't want to go to that parade.
No. It's definitely a thing, though, in 2023. 3M, the latest. We heard Creedy talk about it earlier, saying it plans to cut about 2,500 manufacturing jobs. Then we had Ford and Spotify announcing layoffs yesterday. And this comes on the heels of recent cuts from Microsoft, Amazon, Salesforce, Alphabet, and more. It's definitely a thing.
It is a thing. So the question is, what's an employee to do if they've been laid off? How do you land your next job in an ever-changing job market? We've got with us this afternoon Dr. Mona Morshed, founder and CEO at Generation. This is an independent nonprofit. It was founded a few years ago by McKinsey to help prepare people for jobs. She joins us via Zoom from Washington, D.C. Dr. Morshed, good to have you with us this afternoon. I want to talk more about Generation in just a second, but first of all, I want to get your thoughts on what we're seeing in terms of layoffs. And I want to look at this in the context of, you know, we're still in a jobs market that's, you know, really, really tight. I mean, unemployment rate, it's historically low still.
Absolutely. So there are a number of things happening right now. Obviously, we're all waking up to headlines every day where there are slews of job cuts which are being announced. That has a couple of ramifications. First of all, obviously, it means adversity for those individuals and those families. But what we're also seeing is that there is a slowdown in new hire vacancies as well. In addition to the job cuts. And so there are two forces happening at the moment. For those individuals who are
a slowdown in new hire vacancies. What does that mean?
So for postings for new hires, there is a slowdown in those. So there's both cuts as well as a slowdown in hiring. So it affects two populations, those currently in jobs who are losing them, and those who are applying afresh to new jobs. And so we are starting to see data, at least in the US, of it taking 3 to 6 months for people to find jobs in certain pockets. Now, that's a certain picture. Now, important to recognize, the headlines that we see in the US do not apply equally across the world. So we're also seeing other geographies where there's been no slowdown at all in terms of hiring. And we're also seeing that although for tech jobs in particular, you might find slowdowns in tech companies, but there are other companies and other sectors. So it might be in the financial sector, it might be in manufacturing, who are looking to hire for tech roles. And so that's another area of opportunity.
Go ahead, Carol.
Well, right. I mean, does this remind you at all of another job cycle?
2008.
Seriously?
Well, hopefully we don't reach that. I mean, so look, I think that what's important is to recognize this is all cyclical, right? And this cycle will take about 2 years to work itself out, if history is any indicator. So we're seeing a crunch and then again, slow hiring, but then it will open up again. And very importantly for job seekers is looking for those pockets where there is continued hiring. And that may not be in the tech sector. So it could be tech roles in other sectors.
So is it safe to say, and just to kind of a little bit of a conclusion here, when we look at the data points that come from the government and elsewhere on the job market, which continue to show strength in the job market, are you saying it's really not the true picture or the full picture?
It's a partial picture, okay. Right? You know, so again, There is a partial when you look at which sectors are hiring versus where is there a slowdown. It's partial in terms of, is it a global phenomena or is it a US phenomena? Mm. And then there is also a question, I would say, of demographics, because one thing that I will emphasize is that age matters when it comes to hiring. We've done research and others have done research as well. When you look at what happens when you are age 45 plus, it becomes much harder to find a job. That is why the majority of the long-term unemployed, 6 months or more, are age 45 plus, and that's across the OECD. So age matters here too, and will impact, unfortunately, due to pervasive ageism that we consistently see across employers and across geographies, of how fast can you get yourself back into a job.
So what's the focus for you at Generation in terms of the types of the people who find themselves without jobs, placing them, age range?
Yeah, so at Generation, we support adults of all ages. So from 18 years old to 65 plus. And our learners are typically, you know, so first they typically have a secondary school degree background. Over half are female, the majority have dependents. And we are either placing them into their first job, or we are supporting those who are age 45 plus and who may, for example, have been spending the last 10 years working in retail or in logistics and supporting to put them into green jobs or into tech jobs or whatever it might be. So what we do is train and place learners into careers that otherwise would have been inaccessible.
So I want to go back to something that you said earlier about this being reminding you of 2008. And, you know, if we go back to 2008, the unemployment rate was 10%. Right now it's at 3.6%. So what else about the environment right now that you're seeing out there tells you that this is similar to back then? I'm just not seeing it.
There's an element of what I'll just call copycat behavior, which is when employers start to see that some companies are doing layoffs, it starts to make everyone much more conservative. And that is with regards to new hires. And so the question for us is, because we are often placing people into entry-level roles, irrespective of which profession it's in. And so you start to see it taking longer to get people into roles. So it's not that they will not make it, but you know, whereas before we could support someone within 3 months, it might now take 6 months. And we're seeing this also in the reticence of employers to also commit to saying, you know, these are the vacancies which we're going to have this month or that month. Everyone is watching and waiting to see what happens. In addition, the IMF recently came out to say that, you know, a third of the world's economies are going to go into recession this year, which is a big deal. So 2023 is very much a watch and wait and observe type of a year.
So, you know, Mona, earlier you said the government data, it's a partial picture of what's going on in the U.S. labor market. So having said that, based on what you're saying, it sounds to me that very soon we might see some of this show up. Is that your expectations?
The expectation is absolutely that over the coming months, we're going to see, not just for the U.S. economy, but for the world, how resilient is the hiring going to be. And it will obviously, nothing will ever be true across the entire world, but it'll be in pockets. Mm. So you'll find some sectors, you know, clearly the tech sector is heavily affected right now. But you may not see that same trend in green jobs or in healthcare. And so this is why it's so important to look at the picture sector by sector and not just economy wide.
Older workers, do we need them?
Absolutely, we need them. You know, I think the age 45 plus population is a remarkable asset that should be much more employed than is the case.
You have a bunch of people around the newsroom and our audience who are listening, and they're like, when did 45 become old?
Because when you look at when you look at government stats, the majority of the long-term unemployed are age 45 plus.
Wow. Right?
As soon as, you know, I say this to you as a 51-year-old, I recently had a birthday. And so, thank you.
No, but it's interesting because, You know, we talk about aging demographics and the impact it can have on a country's economy, right? We've talked about it certainly with Japan. We've talked about it with the U.S. increasingly. We've talked about it even with China, who's seeing an aging population mm-hmm. and the costs that that has in so many different ways. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what the smart question, I mean, should we be putting these people to work? Isn't that better for the global economy? Or Tim, what do you think?
Well, I have one question for you, Mona, 10 seconds, okay? If somebody really young is listening right now, thinking about what they're studying in college or studying in you know, trade school, what should it be?
Yeah.
I get this question frequently. No, so look, I'm going to give a practiced answer,
just
which
quickly,
is
yeah.
very quick.
It's about how quickly you learn. It is often okay. not about what you learn. It's how quickly you learn.
I like that.
Interesting. All right. Some really thoughts in terms of today's labor market. Dr. Mona Morshed, founder and CEO of Generation via Zoom from Washington, D.C.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.